It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Compared to other mental health conditions, schizophrenia can be difficult to treat. But over the last couple decades, researchers at the National Institute of Mental Health have found that a combination of early intervention and team-based mental health services is effective at managing symptoms. Unfortunately, not all patients have gotten to take advantage of the new approaches to care. Our next guest will give us some insight into the barriers that stand in the way of effective schizophrenia treatment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with schizophrenia or experienced psychosis? Were you able to get some kind of help or treatment? Did you run into roadblocks trying to find and access treatment? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Ron Diamond is a professor emeritus of psychiatry at UW-Madison and was previously medical director of Journey Mental Health, formerly Mental Health Center of Dane County. Ron, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
There are a lot of misconceptions out there, I think, about what schizophrenia actually is. Can you start us off by talking about the symptoms and how we diagnose it?
Well, first of all, nobody believes that schizophrenia is really one illness. It's more like saying pneumonia. And there are lots of different kinds of pneumonia. There are probably lots of different psychopathologies or brain problems that lead to schizophrenia. But the overall issue is that there are typically people who are suffering from psychosis, hearing voices, believing things the rest of us don't, often complicated by what we call negative symptoms, difficulty with motivation, difficulty with inertia, difficulty with feeling pleasure, and then further complicated by cognitive problems, confusion, problem with executive functioning, organizing things. And different people have different parts of those symptom complexes to different extents.
Can you talk a little bit about what that does, what challenges that raises for people in their daily lives?
Well, it makes everything more difficult. It could make it difficult to continue with school. It can make it difficult to hold a job. It can make it difficult to maintain social relationships. It can make it difficult to just go to a grocery store or to plan what you want for dinner. And as a result, many, but not all people with schizophrenia have trouble just with daily functioning and with keeping housing and with things the rest of us take for granted. Now, when I talk like this, I want to be clear that there are some people with schizophrenia who do quite well. There's a TED talk by a woman by the name of Ellen Sachs, E-L-Y-N-S-A-K-S, who is professor at UCLA with schizophrenia and talks eloquently about her own illness. But for the most part, it's a really difficult thing to live with.
How has treatment for schizophrenia developed, maybe even just since when you first started practicing medicine?
Well, when I first started practicing medicine, the antipsychotic medications were just coming out, and that was considered a dramatic and miraculous cure. But what it really did was it let people with schizophrenia to be more tractable and to some extent to get out of the hospital, but it didn't necessarily improve their quality of life. And different medications, which had better side effects, still didn't seem to affect the core elements of the illness. Beginning in the early 70s, a team-based approach was developed, actually with much of the work going on here in Madison. The primary person who drove a lot of this was my mentor, Len Stein, now deceased, and found that if you combine the medication with help with problems of daily living, help with job support, help with figuring things out, interventions that help people deal and live with their symptoms, which were not necessarily going away, then people could be much more stable and have a much better quality of life, even if we didn't know how to cure the illness. Many parts of medicine with chronic illness, we don't know how to cure, we know how to manage. We don't cure diabetes, we help people manage it. And there were a lot of experiments about combining psychosocial treatments with medication that showed we could help people manage their illness, much better quality of life. It was really a fairly dramatic relook at what this was all about.
Dr. Ron Diamond is with us, professor emeritus of psychiatry at UW-Madison. We are talking about schizophrenia, how Treatment options have changed, improved over the years, but not everybody has access to that kind of treatment. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question for our guest or maybe an experience you're willing to share. That's 800-642-1234. Can you talk around a little more about how this team approach works? Who are the different parts of this team? How do they interact with that person who's seeking help?
Well, in the traditional treatment, we would expect somebody with schizophrenia to come in for an appointment. We would see them briefly for a medication check every month or two, and then we'd be surprised that they wouldn't keep taking the medication. They would have trouble with daily function, and it wasn't considered our job as psychiatrists or even as mental health people to intervene very much. The team approach said, instead of looking at what we normally do, let's look at what this person needs. And that might mean putting on the team somebody who could help maintain housing, somebody could help the person get a job, somebody could coach the person about social skills training, how to make eye contact, how to say hello, how to do those things that got lost in the course of the illness. It might mean helping people learn to go grocery shopping by going grocery shopping with the person. It was a lot of very hands-on, immediate work that operated often 24 hours a day or 7 days a week, of which the psychiatrist and the nurse, who were important parts of this team, were only one important part. And so the whole team worked together to try and compensate and help the person with these disabilities manage their disabilities.
I think I can guess one obstacle here. From insurance companies, they might be willing to say, okay, you saw a doctor, they prescribed a medication, we'll cover that. This other stuff might fall outside of their purview. Is that one of the challenges, just finding insurers who are willing to cover that broad spectrum approach?
Absolutely. I always got frustrated because as a physician, I could write for very expensive medication. It could cost $1,000 a month for medication I was writing, and that would be covered without a hiccup. But to write to say this person needs a job coach or this person needs help learning how to go to the grocery store was outside the purview of what most insurance companies would even consider as medical, even if it was as important or even more important than the expensive medication.
Is that changing at all?
I would like to say yes. In the public sector, it's changing a lot. So that the first teams of this sort, actually the first team in the world was here in Madison in the early 70s. And since that time, the public sector, Medicaid, SAMHSA, and state funding agencies have recognized this. And every county in Wisconsin now has what's called a community support program that operates with these principles. Pretty much every state in the country has at least some of these teams operating. It's really worldwide. It's been implemented in different ways, but with the same basic principles, all in the public sector. Medicaid, which doesn't pay very well, and the reimbursement rate is a problem, for the most part, will pay for these team approaches. And there are a lot of grants, block grants to states that will pay for it. As far as I know, almost none of the private sector insurers, traditional insurance, will pay for the array of services that are needed. And so if you happen to be unfortunate enough to be middle class or wealthy, if your kid is a young adult covered by your insurance and you have traditional insurance, you're probably out of luck. And in fact, I have on many occasions suggested that people let their kids get off their family insurance and go into Medicaid, which is the only way to get any kind of team approach, as far as I know.
Now, as you said, this was first being worked on in the 1970s, so we have about 50 years of practice on this. What kind of changes do you see in health outcomes for people who are able to access this team approach and this broader approach that helps them live, hopefully, better lives?
Well, if you have the full array of services, the employment rate goes from 15% of people with schizophrenia to more than 50%. You see people staying in school, which makes a huge difference. You see people, for the most part, not being homeless. You see people having stable lives. Everything is more difficult if you have schizophrenia, just like it is with other chronic illnesses or chronic conditions. But you see many, many more people with this disorder having lives that are tolerable, that are generative, that are productive, and that make sense to people. Without this, and it really requires an ongoing lifelong approach, when the team stops providing support, people typically have trouble making it on their own. The level of support can vary enormously. Schizophrenia is a relapsing illness, so for periods of time, people might need a lot of intensive support. It might be multiple contacts a week, and then people might be doing better and really only require a contact or two a month. But the risk of a relapse going up to requiring more support is always present, and therefore the team has to be somehow available pretty much indefinitely. And with this, you find that arrest rates go down, jail rates go down, hospitalization rates go down, emergency visits go down. It's kind of a win-win. We just don't know how to politically pull it off.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Brian is with us in Stevens Point. Brian, hi.
Hi. I was calling just because I dealt with my dad, who had bipolar, and he was living with that for 25 years or 30 years, and he was so difficult for our family to deal with. We lived with it, and we almost affected us as much as him after a while.
Brian, thank you so much for sharing that, and I'm sorry for what you could hear it, a difficult experience. I understand, Ron, in some programs there is family support, not necessarily just for the person dealing with, in Brian's case, his dad had bipolar, he said, or schizophrenia, helping family members as well for their own benefit and maybe for their loved ones' benefit as well.
It's a critically important part of that. It's not a surprise, by the way, that at the same time the first teams were developing in Madison, Wisconsin, the National Alliance for the Mental Illness, a family support group, nationally had its first meeting, organizational meeting here in Madison. And the two, I think, coincide that schizophrenia and other major mental illnesses can present huge burdens to the families and to other members of the community. And part of what this team does is focus on the needs of the patient, the person involved, but part of it is focusing on the needs of the family. I can remember one young woman with bipolar disorder who was incredibly disruptive, and the family needed to set limits, and they didn't know how to do it. And they were able to start applying limits and to say that she couldn't live there and actually kick her out of the house, because they knew that our team was in a warm car sitting outside the house waiting to make sure she had housing that night. And the team working with the family as well as with the patient can really help deal with some of the burden of this. Now, I don't want to promise mm-hmm. that there isn't huge burden in any case. There's not a clear cure, and families are going to be stuck with an overwhelming amount of stress, and the best team in the world can't do it all. But these teams, when they're functioning appropriately and when they're working with the family as well as the patient, can sometimes help huge amounts. We could go with examples where the team has not been able to do that, even if the team is available, but it does help a lot for a whole lot of these families, which right now are stuck doing it all by themselves. If the patient, the father with bipolar disorder, doesn't come in to see the psychiatrist and doesn't follow up, the family is stuck all by itself. And if the team is involved and has a relationship, the team should be out there in a car waiting for the person and helping the family deal with the crisis.
Brian, thanks a lot again for sharing your family's experience. We're talking to Dr. Ron Diamond, Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at UW-Madison, about schizophrenia treatments and obstacles to receiving care. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced this in your family? Have you yourself or a loved one had access to this kind of team approach to care? What kind of things did you see working that helped? What questions do you have about schizophrenia? Do you work with patients with the condition, one form or another? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up the conversation with Dr. Ron Diamond, Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at UW-Madison, former medical director of what used to be the Mental Health Center of Dane County, now called Journey Mental Health. We're talking about barriers that people with schizophrenia could face in trying to access the most effective medical treatments, often team-based treatments. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you received or participated in this kind of team-based care for schizophrenia or other mental health conditions? Did that support work for you? Is this something that's affected your family? And what questions do you have? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on another caller. Dorothy is with us in Greendale. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi. My daughter has schizoaffective disorder, which is bipolar with bouts of schizophrenia that are related to the manic phase of her disease. And I live near Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and she is now under the care of a team approach through a program in Wisconsin called Family Care. And it is a part of Medicaid sponsored by the state of Wisconsin. And it has really made such a difference in her ability to cope, to manage with the schizophrenia has decreased amazingly. And these professionals come to her home because she has been in a wheelchair and oxygen, but she has lost 170 pounds. And can now walk with a walker, and is, for the first time in like 5 years, she's starting to go out to AA meetings and just be a part of the world. She's 53 years old.
Dorothy, thank you so much for sharing that with us. A lot of the elements there. Ron, what do you want to focus on?
Well, Family Care is an umbrella, almost HMO-type organization that organizes services, and it sounds like they are in that area as well as here, providing a lot of these wraparound in-home services. The certified programs in Wisconsin that do the full team approach are called CSP, or Community Support Programs, or the less intensive programs, or CCS, or Comprehensive Community Care. But this has been so effective that lots of other programs in the public sector, not in the private sector, have picked up elements or pieces of this, whether they are formally certified as CSPs or not. And when it happens, then the chance of it working goes hugely up, as you mentioned.
And Dorothy,
and part of it part of this is going on site, not waiting for the patient necessarily to come into you for an appointment, and really being tenacious about following through. Almost all of the patients that I worked with that eventually did well started by saying, I don't have anything to do with you guys, I don't want to take the medication. And you get a relationship by taking people grocery shopping, or by taking them out for food, or by continuing to visit. And so the idea is, we're going to work to develop a relationship despite initial reluctance on the part of the patient. And we're going to do it voluntarily. We're not using legal coercion in most cases. And it can be very effective.
Thanks again for that call, Dorothy. And another thing Dorothy mentioned, and you just referred to, that services come to her daughter. And I've seen this as a common theme. If you're saying to somebody with schizophrenia, okay, you've got to come to this appointment with a psychiatrist, and then go see your work coach, and then go see your housing coach, and so on. For somebody with, as you mentioned, some executive function concerns, that can be overwhelming, I would guess.
It can be. I grew up, my father was a GP in a small town and always did house calls. And as a kid, I remember going on house calls with him. And I thought all doctors did house calls. I was abused of that in medical school. But part of this was doing house calls and having the whole team do house calls. And it's not that every patient needs that. It's expensive and time consuming. But for those that do, it's the only way to connect.
If there's somebody out there listening, getting treatment themselves for schizophrenia or for a loved one, and not familiar with this concept, wondering where they can go to see what resources are out there, if there's something for them, where would you recommend they start?
I'd go to the County Human Services. There is supposed to be a CSP team in every county, and it's under the direction or authority of County Human Services. Some of the rural counties have put different counties together to form a team, but that would be where I would start.
Now, with our system, some states, I believe including Illinois, have said, hey, insurance providers, you do have to cover these wider treatments, these team approaches. Is that an effective way, you think, to improve access to this sort of treatment?
I like the idea. I actually do not know how well it's working. So I can't comment on how well it's working in Illinois, but I think getting people to cover needed services makes sense. We wouldn't cover surgery for cancer, but not cover oncological treatments of other ways. I think that that's the way to go. I don't know how well it's working.
And finally, I'm wondering, do we have enough trained people? Do we need to expand the network of the various kind of providers involved in this team service?
Always, yes. There are two issues with that. One is there's a shortage of mental health professionals, including psychiatrists and trained therapists. But the other is the training required for this kind of work has to be a little bit different. Many psychiatrists are not really trained to work with these teams, not trained to work with people this seriously ill. And also many psychologists and nurses and social workers don't have the appropriate training to do this kind of work, which is really quite specialized. Just one example, we train almost all therapists now how to do cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. But there's very little training for the specialty CBT of working with people with psychosis, which is evidence-based, has a manual, and yet it's really very few people, clinicians, are exposed to the specific requirements if you're going to apply this to people with psychotic disorders.
Ron, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Dr. Ron Diamond, Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at UW-Madison, previously Medical Director of Journey Mental Health. We talked to him today about schizophrenia treatment and why the most effective care is difficult for a lot of patients to access. If you or someone you know is struggling or in crisis, there is help available. You can call or text 988 or chat 988lifeline.org. Remember, you can follow these conversations all the time, anytime, online at WPR.org or download the Wisconsin Public Radio app. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.